Selamat Hari Malaysia. Buat pertama kali, Hari Malaysia kebangsaannya dirayakan di Sibu. Tapi tahukah anda asal-usul dan kekuatan Sibu itu sendiri? Masyarakat Fuchau. Benarkah mereka ada ramai bilioner dan jutawan? Dari mana asalnya? Kerana 1900, Wang Naixiong, seorang Fuchau dari China, 17 perjanjian perkaranya dengan Rajah Brook. Bagaimana sampai ke sini? Ikuti Agenda Awani. Assalamualaikum dan salam sejahtera. Anda sedang menonton rakaman Agenda Awani khas di Sarawak, di Sibu. Kenapa Sibu? Kerana perayaan Hari Malaysia tahun 2020 dirayakan di Sibu. Dan ini simbol betapa kemajmukan Malaysia itu begitu penting sekali. Sibu misalnya mempunyai tumpuan penempatan penduduk majoriti Cina, terutamanya golongan Fuchau. Siapa, dari mana, bila dan sebagainya tentang Fuchau ini, kerana seperti juga migran-migran lain berdasarkan sejarah, kedatangan etnik Cina ke Malaysia adalah dengan mereka berlayar untuk mencari hidup yang lebih baik, menempuh lautan, pancaroba hanya untuk mencari wang dan rezeki dan menghantar untuk menjara keluarga di Cina. Tetapi 100 tahun hampir ke depan, terutamanya di Sibu, etnik Fuchau antara yang paling penting dan berpengaruh serta menggerakkan ekonomi Sibu, Sarawak dan juga Malaysia. Untuk mendalami, saya datang sendiri ke Museum Warisan ataupun Heritage Museum untuk golongan dan kumpulan Fuchau di Sibu ini. Oleh itu, saya ingin minta izin berbicara bahasa Inggeris. I have with me two very important officials of Persatuan Sibu Fuchau, Fuchau Sibu Association. Closest to me is Mr. Lau Ngee Hook, Secretary General. Further away from me is Mr. Ying Ting Chai, the President of the Association. So I'm just going to start. This is just a chit chat. You know, I'm a Malay Muslim from Malaya. I don't know much about Sarawak, especially Sibu. This is only maybe my second or third time in Sibu. How come Fuchau is a very important aspect of Sibu now, and of course the history of Sibu? Maybe almost 100 years ago in 1901, if the Fuchaus didn't come to Sibu, there'll be no Sibu as we know it today. So I'm going to allow you to tell us the history, because there's this one Fuchau very famous here called Wang Naixiong. And maybe you want to tell the story of how that started what we now know as Sibu. Can you go back all the way to 1901? Because I think you told me that the history started in Sibu in 1901.
Yes. Wang Naixiong is the founder of the Fuchau. Bring about 180 people from China. Since 1901, March 16 March.
Okay.
So when they come, they bring a lot of only farmer come to Sarawak Sibu here. Mm-hmm. For
rubber.
That time is not much rubber.
Yeah.
Tanam padi lah.
Oh, okay, padi.
Biasa kita tanam padi. After that, they have slowly rubber, planting rubber tree, and then go for lada. Let's say pepper.
Black pepper. Yeah.
Black pepper and white pepper. Yes.
Okay. Mr. Secretary General. This is a museum of heritage, and there's a big statue in front of Wang Naixiong. What is the significance? Why is it important to remember Wang Naixiong? Because maybe without him, there's no Fuchau in Sibu. Can you tell us a story? What did Wang Naixiong do to bring how many Fuchau at first to start what we now know as Sibu?
As my president has mentioned just now, he's the pioneer, one nation, brought 1,100 people to Cebu here. But I think most probably is because of their life in China is not that idea.
Okay.
So that's why they want to find another place. That's why they brought 1,118 people to Cebu here, and mm-hmm. they start off. As my president just now mentioned, because I think Fuzhou people is a special group of Chinese.
Okay.
They are very hardworking. And
how hardworking? Tell me.
You know, as far as I know, in actually currently now, those people, they can wake up as early as 2 o'clock in the morning,
okay.
and they start working.
Okay.
And they work until late evening, especially those farmers. They really work hard in order to earn a living.
Okay.
That is the Fuzhou people spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I myself is already the third generation.
Okay.
And my grandfather, my father, they work mm-hmm. very hard and continue with the third generation. So we just managed to earn a living. That's it. Use our both hands, work hard. And another thing about Fuzhou is they pay a lot of attention to the children education.
Okay.
As well as they can afford, they will send their children to overseas.
So must spend for education.
Yes, they really put emphasis on education. I think that is the right thing to do. Just like the South Africa President Mandela said,
yes.
education collects, nation collects.
Yeah.
So I think it explained the importance of education. Mm. I think we are a bit lucky like that. We all receive education. We have good education. In
Where did you go and study?
Myself?
Yes.
I went obviously, I think it's in year 1994.
Taiwan?
Huh?
Did you study in Taiwan or somewhere?
No, no. I studied first in West Malaysia,
okay.
then I went to New Zealand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. People used to say and think that, especially Malaya people, Semenanjung, they think that Fuzhou are mainly in Cebu. But you told me a very, almost a proverb, like when I ask you where else in Sarawak will there be Fuzhous, and then you say something about a bird and flying. Okay.
Oh, okay. Actually, Fuzhou people, where there is job available, employment, career available, they will go. You know, I will sum up is that, you know, where there is sunlight, there will be Fuzhou people there.
Okay. As long as there's sunlight, you'll find Fuzhous. Mr. President, Mr. Ying Ting Chai, is it true that there are so many billionaires from the Fuzhou community? I think in Cebu alone, people keep telling me there's more than 10 from the timber days alone. You know, maybe one finger is not enough to count them. And then now you also have strong shipbuilding. The best, most number of shipyards in Malaysia are said to be in Cebu, nearly half, I think. And there are many billionaires. So can you tell us more about this, the strength? Because like the Secretary General said, Fuzhou people has worked hard since 1901.
Yes, yes.
So nearly 100 years now. So surely the wealth has grown. The first generation goes to the second generation and now the third and fourth generation. So how many billionaires and how rich are the leaders of the Fuzhou in Cebu and everywhere else?
For the millionaire in Cebu here, we cannot mention who are the millionaire.
Yeah.
But we know.
Many, right?
Many. Cebu, a lot of
millions
Fuzhou
and billionaires.
They are supplied to whole Sarawak. They are working hard, not only in Cebu.
Correct.
They are going to Bintulu, Kuching, Miri, a lot of Fuzhou.
Yeah.
Hard work at other city, yeah. other town.
Mm-hmm.
So then hard work, they can earn a lot of
more,
money,
yeah.
more money, and then they can develop mm-hmm. the other place.
Even in Peninsula? So is that the strength of the Fuzhou community Because I think before we started this interview, I actually asked you, because I Googled it, but I want to hear from the association. There's only what, not even half a million futsals in Malaysia, but the strength, if you prorate the average of the GDP or maybe income, GNI, of the futsal community, they are way average than the average Malaysian average number. So is that a strength of the community? Because they work hard, they are in business or farming or timber or shipbuilding or even, you know, supply chains of trading, and they export, right? The futsals don't just sell their products here, international market, because you control the waterways from the longest river, Sungai Rajang, right up to the South China Sea, and you can go anywhere from there. So is that the main strength of the futsal community?
It can be that it. Cebu here, a lot of futsal doing timber, have a timber.
Yeah.
That is thing about 50 years ago. That were hard, because you know we are, for the talk, must early morning have to go to the forest, cutting tree or doing all this. This is hard work, very hard work.
Yes.
So
no road also must go by river.
Yeah, by river. And then futsal people is more effort, more rising. That even, but it's like that. Futsal people mostly working hard, but some people maybe not doing very well. But they can work hard and then.
Yeah.
And still can have a second time to have a
Mr. Secretary General, when I look at all the pictures of the futsal community leaders, business leaders, it's clear that no matter how successful they are, they always give back to their roots, to the community, either in terms of donating hospitals or helping with schools. So is that also another strength of the futsal community? Because you don't only enrich yourself, but because of the humble beginning, 1,118 came on a steamship and they had to pay to come here, and they don't know what they're going to face here. And that makes the bond between the community very strong. So even if his or she is a billionaire, they, for out of respect, must also earn the right to help others. Is that the case?
Futsal. Okay. Futsal actually is very unique. Futsal actually, not like our Kamaru mentioned just now, they are billionaire. But some of them are very poor. They all start off with very poor.
Okay.
This was because they are poor, they work very hard.
Yes.
And one spirit of futsal is they are very daring.
Okay.
That is really very daring.
Give
no me, matter what
give
sort
me
of
one people. Example huh? that you know, very daring.
Say for example, you know, you know, some of the forest timber is belong to the native.
Yes.
You know, people don't dare to cut the tree.
Yes.
But some of them is just, they are very clever. They know how to handle the local aborigine, and they manage to cut.
Yeah.
You know, they just try. They don't know what is failure. You know, yeah. just try. At the end, they become
they
very
find
successful.
Find an answer yes. until they get it.
Yes, I think that is a good thing. That. They will break through.
Never say never.
Ah, never. They will break through. And referring to the question just now you say, this I think is a very good question. Among the Chinese community, futsal, I would say, not because I am futsal, but I have seen a lot of futsal in Cebu here, our nationwide. If you ask them for donation, very generously, just donate like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they believe, there is a saying, those who give would be more blessed than those who receive. I have seen with my eyes, wow, they just really, you know, donate, they just give.
Yep.
And they become richer.
Okay.
So I think that is a good testimonial.
Yes.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about that. What else can they give? Because whatever it is, the world now has changed. You know, technology development, climate change, timber, nobody young in the world think timber is good anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because they want nature. They don't want to cut trees. They want to plant trees. So the industry has got to move on. People talk about sustainability. So how would the Fuchao community now move forward? Because if we look even in Sarawak, other urban centers like Bintulu is coming up because of new engineering technology and new development. And we see Tanjung Manis is also being developed. But Cebu, big area, no LRT. The public transport still have buses as old as I am. I remember taking the bus, the chair was only half, no aircon. And the bus station doesn't have a roof. You sit in the hot sun, for example. So how do you move the whole Cebu and the whole Fuchao center to be more developed after this? Maybe the Fuchaos also have to have more political leaders. I don't know. I'm going to ask the Secretary General and the President of the Cebu Fuchao Association right after this short break. Anda masih menonton rakaman khas Agenda Wani sepanjang hari Malaysia dan tahun ini dirayakan di Cebu, Sarawak. Kita mahu menghargai kepelbagaian. We want to appreciate the diversity in the community that we have in Malaysia. Just like our flora and fauna. So for that, Agenda Wani hits the reset button and we try to find out here at the Heritage Museum for the Fuchao community. You know, it's almost 100 years ago that the Fuchao systematically came in groups on a ship to Cebu, and they started what we now know as the community in Cebu. But the next 100 years, Mr. Secretary General, is not going to be like the first 100 years. The world has changed. The new normal of a virus, for example, have given us a lot to think about. Going digital, sustainability, cut down forests. Even for COVID, they are thinking that it jumped from animals, wild animals. So don't sell wild animals in markets and stuff like that, the encroachment into the natural area. So for the next 100 years of the future of the Cebu heritage and community, where do you think it should be? Because as I said, even in Sarawak, Cebu development was good before, relatively. But now, other areas are also coming up. So what is the future for Cebu and for the future community?
Well, I think this is a good question because as we all know that Cebu used to be the second largest city. Now I think it's keep dropping, you know. Others are catching up. And I think leaders is important.
Yeah.
Like in, you know, generally in Malaysia, you know, the importance of leader is cannot be overemphasized.
Good leadership must be there.
Good leadership must be there. So for Fuchao, I think we have to get more Fuchao to get involved in politics,
okay,
and be a good leader, be a dynamic leader. Mm-hmm. And for Cebu, in order to survive for the next 100 years, we have to think of way and means to change.
Yeah.
Change is the way to survive.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if this still carry on the old method, that I think very soon Cebu will be dropped out.
Wong Nai Siong in 1900, I saw a letter on the wall that he signed as an agreement with Rajah Brooke.
Okay.
That was how very visionary he was. Yes. He was not from here. He came from China, met the leader called Rajah Brooke, and saw what can be done with a very remote area, Cebu, at that time. So now, who and which group of people will be the new Wong Nai Siong to do new adventures for the Fuchao community? Because we do know that the Sarawak state election would have to come soon.
Yes.
Maybe by next year, some would say. And do you want to see, you said just now that you want more political leaders. Do you think that is the right moment to carry more of the community, not just for the Fuchao people, but for the whole area, because Cebu couldn't have done it without other ethnic cities and other people, right? Mm. I saw also second generation Bangladeshi Muslim here opening up restaurants and cafes, for example. So it's a mixed city also. But largely, do you want to see more representation in terms of leadership in the next Sarawak state election?
Oh, you mean not only just Futsal group of people, yeah, but also
to represent Cebu, because Cebu is very unique. You know, it takes on resources from Ulu Rajang, which means that the Iban heartland. Mm. So you have to work together. You don't want any more timbers, if possible, for sustainability. But all this loss of job and income must be replaced. Mm. Must be new things, maybe computer technology, whatever. Mm. So a new leader must carry all these new challenges, right?
Mm. Well, I think, as we know, Malaysia is made out of multiracial, and the beauty of Cebu people, we all can stay together, even in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
We have Muslim, yeah, we have Malay, we have Indian, we have Iban. This is those people come from outside Sarawak saying that, hey, surprisingly, you people just can meet in one cafeteria and chit chat and have food, drinks together. I think that is the beauty of Cebu.
Sure.
So in terms of politics, I think there should be a fair representative from all the races. Yes. I think it's sort of like more balanced, and we carry on to develop beautiful Cebu.
So would we see a Futsal political party mainly?
You mean specifically?
Yeah, because if you're not a politician, then you cannot form government, right?
Yes. But I think now, in terms of the political party, there is no one specifically which belong to Futsal. Mm-hmm. It's always a combination of different races. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the current trend, I would say.
Yes. Okay, but can be better, More voices from this side.
Yes, different people, different opinion, combined together. I think is a better choice.
Yeah, good luck to you for that. But to Mr. President, it's not complete to have Futsal Association in the age of internet, social media, if we don't connect with the Futsals around the world. I understand that's the global Futsal Association, you know. And also maybe to trace back the roots to Futsal in China, because more Chinese are going out to discover their roots or their relatives or their relations. So is there a plan by the association to network to the international diaspora or people of Futsal community in China, in other places in the world, going international in terms of relationship? Is there a plan?
Actually, we have planning that for the coming 120th anniversary, and we will form a group of 120 people and go back to visit Futsal.
Okay.
And maybe at the same time also invited to join us for the grand anniversary celebration.
You told me that also Futsal businessmen also now open up business in Malaya or Peninsula. So this is bringing Malaysia closer, right? Because of our people movement. But right now, for the association, what problems of the Futsal community do you think is most important to be solved? Is it poverty? You know, some people are poor still, but they work hard. But it's not easy.
Mm.
Now with pandemic of COVID and new normal, many things, you know, cannot continue. There are shop owners who close the shop, cafe owners who close their cafe because tourists are not coming in, outside people can hardly come in. So is that the challenge of the association now, to help the people during these tough times?
I think in Cebu here, maybe it's not too bad because Cebu Futsal people is very thrifty.
Okay.
They are not extravagant.
I see.
And they had a good habit of saving. And they sort of like, inherit
Even if they have a lot of money, they're still very,
very thrifty. Yeah. No, they don't like
just
to spend.
Throw money.
Yeah. Yeah, they keep the money, save the money, and put the money in the bank as fixed deposit. But I think they have a good reserve for this difficult time. I think I always say you have to save enough for the rainy day.
Okay.
So even though maybe they say, oh, I'm poor, difficult, but I think they can overcome this difficult time.
What about the fourth and the fifth generation? You're the third generation, right?
I'm third generation. Yeah.
So the fourth and the fifth?
The fourth.
You know, young people now, they have new ideas.
Yes, but I think they have their own way of surviving. Mm-hmm. I would say so, because their thinking is very different from...
They don't want just to take the company from their father, no.
Yes. No, maybe the way they spend the money is because they use the parents' money. They just spend like that.
Yeah.
Now.
Okay.
But I say it's fair now. When you are grown up, then you have your own responsibility and duties, and you had to have the means to find for living. So I think maybe this is fair now.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. President, I give you the last word to say, how should we look at the Fuchao community in Malaysia? We should look at them to learn working hard and be daring, like you said.
Yes.
You agree?
Yes.
Okay. So, good luck for the association. Please come over to West Malaysia or Peninsula more often so that we can have more conversation, so that the whole of Malaysia knows about the Fuchao community and bring the people together. Thank you so much for making time, Mr. President, Mr. Secretary General of Sibu Fuchao Association. Ini adalah rakaman khas Agenda Wani. Ya, memang saya menanya sikit beberapa soalan tentang masa depan, tapi untuk membuka fikiran kita semua bahawa ini bukan tentang satu komuniti, tetapi jika kita memahami satu sama lain, maka kehebatan Malaysia dan kepelbagaian itu lebih bermakna lagi. Sekian, terima kasih dan selamat Hari Malaysia.